Hey.
Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for April 5th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Last hour, Sam sounds off on the realities of a good marriage and what it takes to create one. Welcome to the broadcast. It was hard hitting last hour. The mainstream press, in bed with government around the world, are absolutely attacking the very heart of God's ordained institution known as marriage. Young Americans aren't interested in marriage, they write. Why aren't millennials getting married? They pile on. They continue and say a link between higher wedding costs and divorce rates. They even write the women who sleep with a stranger to save their marriage, BBC News. Then they talk about this term called halala, I guess is how you say it. It's this psychotic, satanic, straight from the pit of hell practice where a man can just get rid of a woman by saying three words. She's just gone, divorced. He's in charge. She's out. They do it oftentimes for very, very, very inappropriate reasons or simple reasons. You know, she didn't fold the laundry properly or whatever the stupid case may be. So he, you know, says these three words, she's divorced. Now, she may love her husband. And so what she'll do is she'll follow this straight from the pit of hell practice. And it goes like this. This halala is a woman marrying a total stranger, consummating the marriage with that stranger, then getting a divorce, and now she's able to remarry her first husband again. Okay, this is absolutely doctrine that comes straight from Satan's realm, folks. This is psychotic stuff. And they run around and everything they write really attacks the heart of God's ordained institution, marriage. They then write in the New York Times 13 questions to ask before getting married. And they ask crazy questions like, you know, how important is sex to you? Well, it's super duper important. I mean, if I don't get, you know, whatever every day, then you're out. Okay, they ask questions that I don't know how you can commit to that. There needs to be a pure love of Christ charity viewpoint of marriage. There needs to be a tether to God's law and understand that God put marriage together. Man created divorce. God, male and female, created them. And when you understand God's intent for marriage, where they shall become one flesh, they shall leave their parents and become one flesh, is front and center, folks. This isn't a game. This isn't a, will you travel and have sex with me or whatever. This isn't a South Pacific. If you watch the movie, the mom's like, you know what? I'll take care of work and you guys just make love and have fun. Hang out on the beach and have a great time. If you're marrying my daughter, that's what'll happen. That's what South Pacific, you know. These ideas are psychotic. They're not reality, folks. They're crazy. And they're designed to destroy the very fundamental unit of society. Everybody looks to government for solutions. That ain't where you find them either. You got to look to the God-ordained institution of marriage. You got to understand that male and female created them. And you got to understand that when God put marriage together, he never intended for there to be divorce. He intended for them to care for one another. He intended them to work through all these difficulties with one another. He intended for a male and female to think of the other first. Yes, in my opinion, male and females have equality before God, but they're not equal. Men and women have different characteristics, different traits, different capabilities, and they're different on purpose by God's perfect design. And those differences are not controversial. They're not adversarial. They are complementary, folks. The sooner we get this through our heads, the sooner we can actually make progress. We'll never have a stable society. We'll never have liberty if we strike at the very heart of God's law. That was maybe a long-winded summary of what we covered last hour. But these people are crazy. And the only way to bring it back is to focus on God's law, on biblical realities, on male and female created in them, on equality before God and government, on complementary roles that create the fundamental unit of society, which is the family. And it all starts with this God-ordained institution that I submit to you. I've only been married 25 years, but I've only been on the planet for 50 years. And so I've been married for half of it, and I'm telling you, it's very difficult to be married. Not because of my spouse. That's the wonderful part. It's because of money, and it's because of health, and it's because of children and choices and all kinds of difficulties that you face on earth, if you will. Nevertheless, I submit to you that it's a glorious God-ordained institution. And these people that are striking at the heart of it, they don't want anything good. They're straight from the pit of hell. They're crazy. All right, with that, Becky Akers, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. How are you?
Thank you, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege, and I appreciate your full-throated defense of marriage.
What do you say, though? Let's get a woman's perspective. Some would say, oh, Sam, you just expect your wife to be in the kitchen and pregnant and barefoot or in the bedroom. Or, you know, they do their best to try to marginalize the truths that we're pointing out here. We won't let them do it. It's bogus.
It absolutely is. And I was very struck by one statement you made about how we will not get our liberty back until we recognize that Christ and the triune God have ordained marriage. You said something about these people, we need to get our liberty back, and these people are taking us further into slavery. You said it much better than I just did.
But that's right. That's exactly right.
Well, let me posit that that's exactly what these folks want to do. They are opposed to freedom. And much of the attack that we are seeing on marriage is coming from Marxist, communist, socialist, progressive. These people want a strong central government. They want a totalitarian state that tells all of us what to do in every situation we encounter. Remember that the state is their God. So just as we look to Jesus Christ for our leadership and for guidance, and we depend on the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom, and we look to the Bible for inspiration and for the Word of God, these people look to the state. They think the state is the final arbiter of everything. They want the state dictating all our choices, all our decisions, and therefore they understand and are very calculatingly tearing down marriage and, by extension, the family. So that's the whole thrust behind the Marxist push to get rid of families, behind all the LGBTQ2 whatever nonsense. All of that is calculatingly attacking the family to destroy it and get rid of it. But I have to say, Sam, many of us decades ago conceded this to the state, okay? There is nothing that the state should be involved with as far as families goes. The state should
In fact,
not...
believe it or not, Becky, the state was not involved in marriage at all. It used to be something that a minister would do. They would write down the marital reality and the wedding vows, or the consummate, you know, the focus of that marriage. It would be by witnesses. It would be written in the family Bible, confirming that indeed did take place, etc. And then government got involved in marriage, what, back in the 1800s or whatever. And the reason they did is they claimed that, you know, we can't have a black person marry a white person. We got to stop that. So government got involved in marriage because they're a bunch of racist thugs. That's why.
That's right. And so I urge anybody out there who is looking to get married, stay away from the state. Don't let the state intrude into this most private and sacred part of your life. Go ahead and marry your spouse in a church with a clergyman, but you don't need a state license to do this. Why are we asking permission from the godless state to marry the mate the Lord has given us? There is no point to this. You can own property jointly. You can do things like that. You do not need the state to solemnize something that should be a very private contract between you, your spouse, God, and your neighbors and family. So, but, you know, the idea that people would allow it, Christians would allow the state to intrude in this. Another thing we need to get rid of, Sam, is family court. There should be no family court. What does the state have to do with families? We are allowing these godless pagans to come in and break up families, to take children away from their parents. We allow a godless judge to sit there and divide what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, yet we allow divorce court to proceed. This is insanity, and this is hellish and demonic. We need to get rid of all of this. The state should have nothing to do with our families. Our families are sacrosanct. They are not under the state's purview, and we need to bust the myth that the state has any kind of authority over either marriage or family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, we got our work cut out for us. Last hour, I used a triangle, and I said, my wife is at one point of the triangle. I'm at the other point of the triangle. God's at the top of the triangle. And the more we learn to be like God and live a charitable, kind, humble, obeying God's commandments life, the closer my wife and I get to God and to each other. We got to work on this, folks. I'm telling you, we won't have liberty if we don't have this fundamental unit of society called the family.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Kurt Crosby gets a chance to sound off. What do you say, Kurt?
It's good to have Becky's point of view, besides having just a couple of old married guys talking about this forever. But
hey, now you got Becky, you know, on the line too. She's a woman. She can, you know, we believe that they can sound off too, Kurt.
Well, that's what I mean. It's good to have her opinion here and her point of view, simply because a lot of guys would be like, well, or a lot of people would be like, well, here's a couple of guys talking about this when we really need some experts on it. But the fact is, we both, you know, men and women both need to work hard to be experts in this area, to be good marriage partners. I know I mentioned it last hour, but you can see great examples in our society, even in our, I wouldn't look really to Hollywood, but, there's a recent story with Mike Pence and the Indianapolis Star and their family, and then you've got the way they live and the way they try to honor and protect their marriage And then I compared it to, you know, the Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton kind of situation. And, you know, so you do have a big contrast there. And in my opinion, the world tells you, well, you'll live a more fulfilling life if you live the Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton kind of style. And I say that's a big lie. And, you know, a guy like Mike Pence and his wife, I think it's Karen, if I remember right, and the way they try to make sure and keep their vows and those kind of things, you know, is a good example compared to the Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton. Of course, most of us have, we're lucky enough to have parents or grandparents, so many good people around us that have shown us the way. You know, I know that to me is the right way to look at it. And then, of course, try to do all we can to emulate that kind of thing for our children and grandchildren and those who are around us. And that's how we have a greater God, family, country, society.
Amen. Now, Becky, they even in the BBC News promote this idea of halala. I mean, this literally involves a woman getting divorced, or, you know, the husband rejects her and divorces her with three words. I can't remember what the words are, but he says three times. And then the marriage is dissolved. She has to literally marry, have sex with a stranger, get divorced, and then they can remarry if she wants her husband back.
And the point of this is what? I mean, you know, you get rid of your wife and you turn her into a prostitute and then she comes back to you? This makes no sense. But then liberalism never does. So, you know, again, I just see the huge attack on the family.
And I think the point of them bringing this up is they want to make marriage not important. Now the millennials and these younger people are saying, you know, hey, it's more important to buy a house together. It's more important than your commitment. Marriage doesn't matter. And what they're really doing is rejecting God's law, and they're acting. the headline that talk about this halala or whatever, when they explain it, they write this salacious headline that says, "The women who sleep with a stranger to save their marriage," BBC. Okay, I mean, these people are crazy. And the only answer is for us to stand up for it, but we've got this indoctrination going on everywhere, in government schools. Marriage aren't important. And we talked about a story yesterday where the courts in Oregon are saying that you can reject this binary idea and that you can be neither male nor female. And now the courts are backing this agenda. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. They're getting government in bed with these psychotic mainstream media people that pitch this narrative that gender doesn't matter, that relationships don't matter. You know, they're being blown around by the wind of false doctrine everywhere. It's crazy.
This is obviously demonic, as you've pointed out, Sam. You know, Satan's whole point is to not only keep us from saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the only way to God, but his driving force also is then to make us as miserable as possible. Now, anyone knows from both experience and from Scripture, it is not good for man to be alone. And the Lord has created a helpmate for us so that we are not alone. For Satan to be attacking this, I mean, this is ham-fisted for the forces of hell. Usually they're more subtle, all right? You are not going to be happy if you are in your 20s now and you are looking to make for yourself a happy life. You are probably not going to be happy if you wind up alone. You should make it a goal of your next few years to find a mate, to find the man or woman God has for you, whom he has set aside, and you should go into that marriage with the idea that you are going to serve that person. If you are a man, the woman does not exist to serve you. And if you are a woman, the man does not exist to serve you. You exist to serve your spouse. Okay? There are so many people who enter marriage and they have the opposite idea. I'm in this for what I can get out of it. You know, if you get fat and ugly, I'm going to leave you. You know what? If you don't make enough money, I'm going to leave you. You know what? If you cross me, if you displease me in some way, that's it. You're out the door. That is not what marriage is. Marriage is a commitment to love and serve the other person. And, Sam, I learned this very graphically from my parents. My parents were completely in love. I never, ever heard a crossword exchanged between them. They were utterly in harmony. My father adored my mother. She adored him, and she died when I was 18. To this day, my father has never dated another woman. She was the only one for him. And he would tell you with every fiber of his being, cherish your spouse. Life does not last forever on this earth. Your spouse may be called tomorrow to meet his maker. And you will be alone as my father is now. And he is so wretchedly lonely for my mother. So I just encourage you, find a happy life by finding the God-given spouse waiting for you, and then treat that person as the inestimable treasure that he or she is.
And I focused last hour a little bit on, and I want you to respond to this too, Becky. You know, there all these questions that they ask about marriage are surfacey. They don't get at the heart of things. What really matters is when you're set up for disappointment and failure, it's because of mismanaged or unmet expectations. And one of the things that we need to do a whole lot better about is give reality check expectations to our youngsters when they grow up about what a marriage takes. And you pointed to your parents as some role models and things. We need true role models, but we need examples, and we need people to understand expectations. Look, you can marry the best looking person in the world, and you can marry somebody that's, you know, you ask a question and say, hey, you know, is sex really important to you? And you know, you can focus on those things. And then somebody can get in a car wreck and instantly they're not good looking and they're not sexy and you're going to have none of that. And now what happens? And so what I mean is you got to have expectations about what you're in it for. And that's why in my mind, if you point to God and his laws and reasons for that marriage in the first place, you gain a broader eternal view about what the marriage is and what it's for and its purpose. You got to focus internally on how you can become the best marriage partner possible. I don't need to worry about how my wife is doing. I need to worry about how I'm doing. I need to be a better husband, a better father, a better man, a more humble servant of God. I need to learn these things, and then I can spend my time working on that on myself internally. And then I can, instead of criticizing my wife, I can think of all the things that I love about her every day, all the things that she does for me, all the things that I, you know what, the reason that I married her. I need to keep that front and center in my mind. And if we really have expectations that relate to a proper marriage, I think we can change this meltdown mode of prenuptials and divorces everywhere that man has made as he turns his back on God. We can change that narrative, but it's going to start with education. It's going to start with realistic expectations. It's going to start with humble people willing to deliver on those. It starts with integrity. It starts with teaching correct principles and letting people govern themselves, Becky.
Yeah, and you know, Sam, a good test of a potential spouse is to watch how that person interacts with other people who are in a serving position. For instance, when you go out to dinner with your boyfriend or girlfriend, watch how they relate to the waiter. Okay? Are they bossing the waiter around? Is your potential spouse treating the waiter like crap? Is she running his legs off? Is she bothering to thank him when he does something for her? Because the way she treats that guy is the way she's going to treat you when you've been married for a year or two, okay? And vice versa. Women, watch a man and how he deals with social inferiors, okay? Because the way he treats somebody he doesn't need to be kind to, the way that he treats that person is the way he's going to treat you. You should also watch your spouse, your potential spouse, in a family setting.
All right, hold tight, Becky. I want to get to this. Stay right on track. I'll be right back in a second. We want to drill into this. Becky sounds off on what it takes to create a marriage, how to look for an appropriate spouse, and more. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Senator John McCain of Arizona and Senate Budget Committee Chairman Mike Enzi of Wyoming say they are reintroducing a bill that would replace paper dollars. Now, more on what we said yesterday. The reason is paper money wears out so easily. It's very costly to keep printing money. So what do? You do as the Canadians did. You come out with a dollar coin. Unfortunately, the Susan B. Anthony was poorly designed. They called it the Susan B. Agony. In the wake of what has been going on in North Korea, President Trump says he would be willing to go it alone to restrain that country's nuclear weapons program if China doesn't make good on its promises to stop North Korea's nuclear adventures. President Trump tweeted that, quote, if Beijing will not help solve it, then we will do it alone. China will either decide to help us with North Korea or they won't. Trump said that in an interview published last weekend in the Financial Times of London. If they do, then that will be very good for China. If they don't, Mr. Trump says, it won't be very good for anybody. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly Internet News Analysis Service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source. WorldAffairsBrief.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, TheFreedomCoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Becky Akers talking about how to find a spouse for life, how to find a good mate. By the way, did I tell you Becky Akers is not only our guest today, but a well-known author? She writes articles all over the internet about how abusive the TSA is. She's also the author of some incredible books, historical fiction, Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale, an incredible book about the Founding Father, an incredible man, an incredible example, a patriot, to say the least. Also author of Abducting Arnold, the revolutionary new novels by them before they're banned. Abducting Arnold is the other side of the story regarding Benedict Arnold. Was he really the enemy? Was he really just a betrayer, as we're told? Or is there more to that story? Check it out to learn more. Two books. Look for Becky Akers and then Hailstorm and or Abducting Arnold. Do it today. Anyway, Becky, as you were saying, look at the way a man or a woman treats the waiter, the waitress at a restaurant, or somebody, quote, inferior, or somebody in a position to serve. Do they treat them kindly and with respect and dignity and appreciation, or do they run them ragged and mock and belittle and act as if they're a bother or beneath them? Getting a gauge on that is one of the great ways to gauge how they will treat somebody after the newness of the marriage wears off. You can also look at a man and how he treats his mother. You can look at a woman and how she treats her father, and you can get a good gauge as well. Becky, continue.
I would also suggest you watch the parents interact with each other, because we all learn how to be married from our parents. The way our mother treats our father is the way we women will treat our husbands, and the way a father treats a wife, his wife, is the way that the son is going to treat his wife. So we all learn how to do this from our parents. So watch those, the older couple. How do they relate to one another? Are they harsh and unforgiving with each other? Do they scream at each other? Because if so, you can count on your wife screaming at you or your husband screaming at you. You can learn so much from observing this. And I'm always amazed at the people that, you know, rush into a wedding and they give so much emphasis to the wedding. You know, just hours of agony over what colors and how many tables and who they're going to invite. And they give so little thought to the marriage that follows. We have our priorities so skewed and so backwards. But, you know, even during the wedding, the preparations for the wedding, watch how your spouse, your fiance at that point reacts to things. Sam, I was very amused one time in a wedding that I participated in. I watched the bride, and we'd been out shopping all day for things she needed, and her husband also, her groom, had been out buying stuff. Well, she was throwing a bridesmaid's luncheon then to thank us all, and I was astonished when the groom-to-be walked up, now this is the day before the wedding, walks up to our bridesmaid's luncheon, reaches for a sandwich. Remember, he's been out running errands all day for the wedding. He's hungry, he's tired, he's thirsty. He reached for one of the sandwiches she set out, and she slapped his hand away and snapped, "I told you this is just for the bridesmaids." Can you imagine that man went through with the wedding? How much more of a red flag do you need to hang to say, "I am not fit to marry you"? Okay? I mean, where is the common sense? Why would anyone get married to someone that despises him that much, okay? And yet this woman was very beautiful. He was willing to overlook all this. They have had a rotten marriage. They're on the verge of divorce. There's so much emphasis in our satanic popular culture given to the exterior things that melt away in a moment and do not matter, don't matter in the slightest. And yet, if a woman is handicapped in some way, if a woman is not A-list beautiful, men pass her by. And similarly for women, the only criterion many women have is they go out and they look for somebody with lots of money. You know what? Paying for your wealth with tears at night because your husband is cheating on you, because he doesn't care about you, because he's working and he'd rather be with his colleagues than with you, paying for all that money he brings home. Not a good bargain, okay? You can make your own money more easily than that. So those of you who are so shallow, you expect a woman to look gorgeous all the time and she's not worth it otherwise, or you expect a man to earn mega bucks and keep you in a style you're accustomed to, you know what? You get what you deserve. Look instead for someone with a servant's heart, someone who loves his or her parents, someone who takes care of his birth family, because you know what? He's going to do or she's going to do the same thing for you in the new family that you form.
I say that again. Look for someone with a servant's heart. That's really what it takes to make marriages happen. And where you look is important too, Becky. You know, a lot of times
Absolutely. People
go to the club or go to the bar and find some, good luck with that plan. I think you need to find somebody at church or find somebody that you're introduced to by a family member or somebody that you got to find the spouse in the right place. And it's true. You can find a bad or a good person in a bad scenario once in a while. I mean, you can even find some food in the trash can. It ain't the place
That's
to
right.
look though.
And you know something else, Sam? It's fascinating when you look at history, okay? This idea that we have, another self out there, that there's only one right person, and we have to find that right person, that's actually a very new idea in Western culture. And the idea that we should be free to marry whomever we want without any input from society or our families is also a very new idea. For eons, people married someone their parents had chosen, and you know what? The marriages almost always worked. Now, you didn't have the choice, and you didn't have the option of it not working. That's true. But it's fascinating to look back at some of these arranged marriages and to read the tender letters of love the spouses wrote each other. Sometimes it took them a while to get to know each other. You know, many of these letters will come from later life. But still, you had people who were marrying someone who had been chosen for them, and they made it work, okay? So if you're having trouble in your marriage today, the moral of that story is it's your fault, okay? It's not your spouse. You are the one creating the problems. Make sure that you are guiltless in this, and then worry about what your spouse is doing. If your spouse is out there cheating on you, different story. But I'm talking about people who endlessly squabble and fight, and nothing the spouse can ever do is right. That's your problem, not the spouse, okay? You need to reform that critical, please me or you're out of here attitude of yours. You need to have a servant's heart to serve your spouse, who is a fragile human being who will not last forever. You need to cherish every second you have with that person, imperfect as he or she may be. Now, if you are cheating, that's a whole different category. You need to get right with the Lord. You need to confess the sin, the gross, contemptible sin of betraying your own flesh. Sam, I was just reading in Proverbs this morning that only a fool will ever undertake adultery, okay? It's the only sin that we commit against our own flesh, and the Lord has utter contempt for it, and he will exonerate your spouse if you are cheating on your spouse. You need to tremble, you need to repent, you need to get right with God, and you need to confess to your spouse and ask forgiveness.
Amen to that. Now, my wife uses a phrase to our children, and I completely support it and agree with it. She teaches our children, I should say we teach our children, but this phrase came from my wife, so I'm trying to give her credit for it, but choose your love and love your choice. Folks, when it's time to evaluate, when it's time to learn, when it's time to look for someone with a servant's heart, when it's time to determine a marriage partner, etc., it's time to be very, very candid. It's time to be very humble. It's time to get on your knees before God and get guidance. It's time to pay attention to those subtle signals. It's time to get input from family members and loved ones. You don't have to do everything every one of them says. There may be disagreements somewhere. But it is true that, you know what? If a marriage can be successful when somebody else picks your spouse, how successful should it be when you get the chance to pick your spouse? And so what we're saying, it reminds me of a Fiddler on the Roof. You know, do you love me? Well, you know what? I wash your dishes. I clean your house. I have your babies. I do. No. Do you love me? And the point that is coming across to me in that is, you know what? Love takes work. Love takes time. Love takes service. Love takes humility. Love takes experience. Love takes hard work. You don't just fall in and fall out of love. That isn't the way it really works. And so we've got this idea of infatuation or this mismatched expectation about what love really is. I think it's at the core. Do you love God and your spouse? And what's love? And what does it take to make love happen? And I think there's a mismatch there, Becky, that we've got to overcome educationally and morally and expectationally as well.
I agree entirely. Our culture, again, popular culture in America now is utterly demonic, utterly satanic. You would do well to avoid the sewer of popular culture. But basically what it has done is it has substituted genuine love. It has substituted for that the idea of sexual attraction.
All right, hold on, Becky. Quick pause. When we come back, Becky and Kurt on your radio, you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. How do you find a spouse? How do you find a good one, huh? Choose your love and love your choice is what my wife says.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Kurt, you're up to bat, my friend. It's you and then Becky. This is a critical issue, and I know it sounds crazy that we spent 2 hours on this, but I'm telling you right now, we can spend time on a gazillion news stories, but if we lose the fundamental unit of society, the family, if we lose the sacred marriage that God has ordained, I'm telling you, we have nothing, because there's no stability in life. There's no God union. There's no keeping God's laws or commandments. There's just literally debased sin. And that's really where we are. Kurt, any wisdom on this?
Well, you know, Sam, one of the things this reminds me of, at least this conversation, and we get told this a number of times by individuals who, you know, they, for example, when we suggest that we've got to return to God's laws and to keep the Ten Commandments and those kind of things, people that don't feel so strongly about God in the mix tell us, oh, come on, let's just, you know, pick the country and we'll worry about that. And you cannot separate these things. The giver of all good things made the earth, gives us all the things that we enjoy, the air we breathe.
You're breaking up. You got to move to a better spot, Kurt.
When we literally dissuade or want to take him out of the mix, it's just not possible. You can't have success if you take the success, I guess you could say, ingredient out of the mix. And when it comes to families, you know, and marriage, he's got a plan. And it doesn't match up with, as Becky said, the whole LGBTQ craziness that we see in the world today, does it?
Becky?
I'm so glad Kurt ended on that note, because that's another warning I wanted to issue as far as feminism goes, okay? In my opinion, feminism has done more to destroy modern marriage than virtually anything else except popular culture, with the heinous idea that exterior things matter and the internal person doesn't. But I would say twin to that in the destruction of marriage is feminism. If you are a woman, run as fast and as far as you can from all of feminism's garbage, okay? Taking care of your home and your family is a privilege. Taking care of your husband, who will not always be here, who one day will be called into eternity, is a privilege. And if statistics bear out, you are likely to outlive your husband. Cherish every single moment you have with him, okay? They are rare, all right? Take care of him. Doesn't matter what that requires. If that means washing the dishes because he's too busy earning a living, do the dishes. What do you care? It's a service to him. Likewise, men, if you are courting a woman and she is a feminist or has any sympathy whatsoever, be sure you get that ironed out before you tie the knot, okay? Tell her, in my home, feminism is not going to fly, all right? I will be in charge of our home. You are my helpmate. That's how it is, okay? And ladies, you should be glad of that. You should want to support your husband as the chief of your home. He's the one making the decisions. Back him up on that. Don't tear him down in front of your children. Don't stand there and give a feminist rant where your little kids can hear this and watch and think, oh, that's how parents should treat each other. Oh, that's how I'm going to treat my spouse one day, okay? This is straight from God's, from the pit of hell in opposition to God, right? We are meant to serve our spouse. And that goes for men, too. You are meant to serve your spouse. Remember when Paul writes and he condemns the fact that men don't love their women as themselves, okay? That's what you're called to do as a Christian husband. You are to love your wife as your spouse, but ladies, you're to love your husband, and you are to be subject to him. Pay no attention to the feminist heresy that says that's not part of the Bible. It is. It is in there, and we need to pay attention to it. You are in subjection to your husband, and husbands, you are to love your wives as yourselves and lay down your lives for them as Christ did for the church.
Ladies and gentlemen, Becky points this out. Feminism has done more to destroy marriage and the family than anything else. And I think there's truth to this lie. The idea that they pitch is this Hegelian dialectic of equality. They say that men and women should be equals. I don't think so. I think they have equality before God. They should have equality in terms of rights before governments. But men and women are not equal, Becky.
No, they're not, Sam. And the degradation and the pornography that now masquerades as popular culture, okay? That's all because women have abandoned their God-given role as the arbiters of decency and have instead accepted feminism's lies, feminism's deceptions, feminism's falsehoods, that we can go out and whore around just like men can, and we can go out and we can curse just like men can, and we can go out and we can do anything a man can do. Okay, that is all the brutalization of our culture and the degradation and the vulgarization of our culture is all due to that feminist lie. And any woman worth her salt needs to utterly reject this, utterly condemn it, and uphold standards of morality and decency, biblical standards.
And by the way, that equally goes for men and women. Nobody should be running around committing whoredoms. Nobody should be debauching our society, our language, our culture, any of those things. We should do our very best to uphold that which is good, make popular that which is good, and reject that which is evil and destructive. And if we don't, we become an enemy unto ourselves.
Absolutely, Sam. And that means rejecting Hollywood filth. Okay, I'm appalled when I see the parents with little kids in tow lined up outside of movies that, I'm not even talking about the ratings, I'm talking about the ideas that even Disney now promotes. Okay, Disney is promoting sodomy. And you as a parent are going to take your child and subject him to that kind of propaganda? You know, Sam, when I was a child, I never was inside a movie theater. My parents refused to expose me to that kind of filth. All right. I was very restricted in what kind of television I could watch. My father allowed us 1.5 hour a day, and we had to save up from the day before if we wanted to watch an hour long program. And even then, he and my mother were in the room with us. It's not like they turned us loose with the TV and whatever came on. And if the program got filthy, it was instantly turned off. I am astonished at the parents that you know, they panic if their kid takes an extra cracker or cookie, but they couldn't care less what enters the child's eyes. What is going on with this? Your child's spirit is far more important than his physical body. Your child's mind is far more important than his physical body. You don't want him taking garbage into his physical body, but you'll let him sit there in front of Hollywood's pornography and imbibe that hour after hour? What is wrong with you?
Ladies and gentlemen, nothing will take the place of godly principles. Nothing will take the place of following Jesus Christ. He is the author of our liberty. And I don't care what we try to do to, quote, make America great again. I mean, I support the slogan. I want to return to the Constitution. I want to return to... But all those things are downstream from this head, this core, this confluence of what matters most. That is this idea that, you know what, we must obey the author of liberty. I mean, look, he's given us 10 commandments, and if we obey those, I really tried hard. If you obey all 10 commandments to the best of your ability and you're self-governed in that way, I don't really see what other laws you can break. I don't. And so we've gone from the Ten Commandments to the 10 gazillion commandments, and we've gained nothing. In fact, we've lost ground. We've lost morality. We've lost liberty. We've lost everything we hold dear. We got to return to the Ten Commandments, folks. I'm not saying there's no other guidelines that can help you in your life, but I'm saying that's the core. That's the fundamental Judeo-Christian ethics of our founding fathers. Then families were strong. And, you know, have we gained some ground? Yeah, I think that in the past there's been some inappropriate relationships between men and women. Men have treated women more like property. That's wrong. But the problem is we've gone too far the other direction, where we think that women are more important than men. We've even gone to the idea that we think animals are more important than people. I mean, it's psychotic. And we've got to move on to the center, which is the guidelines as God lays them out. Anytime we decide that we know more than God, or we go on our own, we're setting ourselves up for the loss of liberty and disappointment. Kurt, final thought, you and then Becky.
You know, I don't really know for sure what to add more to this discussion. I just, I look at it, it's so important, so valuable. You know, the phrase, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. And, you know, we've got to stand up for those very, very important things. God bless America.
Amen to that. Any final word, Becky?
I would just say that the primary goal of your life, aside from following Jesus Christ, should be establishing a happy, healthy home. And that is impossible to do if you do not love your spouse and you do not serve your spouse with all the love you have. So, again, you can be wildly successful in your career. You can be on top of the world in every other way. If you do not have a happy home, you will be miserable. So make that your primary goal after your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Choose your love and love your choice, ladies and gentlemen. And your love needs to be to God first, family second, country third. That's where we talk about things in those orders. I'm not here to debate religious theology with anybody. I'm not here to divide on religion tenets. But I am here to say, you know what? The founding fathers had a lot of different religious beliefs. Their understandings were quite different in many cases, but they rose above it all. And they said, we realize that God is at the helm, not government. And we realize that we are sovereign under God, and the only way we keep liberty is we obey correct principles. And if we do those things, we can have liberty, and we don't really have a great need for much government at all, very limited, if any. And if we are not self-governed, if we turn our backs on God's law, we will self-destruct. And it's really that simple. And I know people will say, well, Sam, I'm not as religious as you are. And so, you know, that to me doesn't mean as much as it does to you. You know what? Reality is things as they really are. You can call it whatever you like, but I'm calling a spade. And if you want solutions, if you want answers, if you want liberty, you're going to have to follow the author of Liberty's blueprint for success. That is, keep the commandments of God Almighty. Follow the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Gain a testimony and then go to work doing your very best to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for being along. Thank you, Becky.
Thank you, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege.
Abducting Arnold. Incredible book. The other side of the Benedict Arnold story. And Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale, one of the greatest patriots to ever live. Get a hold of Becky Akers' books by name and title today. Buy them before they're banned. Thank you so much. We declare, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. We need your help. Liberty News Daily and LibertyNewsRadio.com.